Good morning. Will the committee room please come to order? Welcome to House Business and Labor. We got a couple bills on the agenda today, so we'll get moving. Yolanda, please take roll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Vice Chair Seekins-Crow.
Excused.
Vice Chair Harvey.
Here.
Representative Anderson.
Here.
Representative Bergstrom.
Here.
Representative Carter.
Here.
Representative Fitzgerald.
Here.
Representative Galloway.
Present.
Representative Gist.
Here.
Representative Gunderson.
Here.
Representative Carlin.
Here.
Representative Logan.
Here.
Representative Lynch.
Here.
Representative Marshall.
Here.
Matthews.
Here.
Nickel.
Here.
Representative Oblander.
Here.
Representative Sullivan.
Here.
Representative Solnikoff.
Excused.
Chair Buttrey.
Here. Members, we have a quorum. We're able to do business. We have two bills to hear today. The first one is House Bill 297. That'll be followed by House Bill 154. Members, we do have folks on this committee that have to get to rules at 10. So we are not going to do executive today. If you have amendments for any bills, please get them to staff. We would like to do as much executive as possible tomorrow after the hearings. Okay, with that, we'll open the hearing on House Bill 297. Representative Welch.
Good morning, Chair Buttrey, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Representative Tom Welch, last name spelled W-E-L-C-H. I represent House District 72, which is all of Beaverhead County and a slice of Butte, Silver Bow County. I bring before you today House Bill 297, which is titled Revised Video Gaming Machine Taxes to Allow Deductions for Negative Income. Currently, gaming machines are the only business that I am aware of that are not allowed to deduct their losses from their profits. This bill corrects that. This has never been addressed in law. Nearly 40 years ago, because it was not specifically addressed in law, it was determined in rule that they could not deduct a loss. In order to change the rule, we need to clearly address it in law. That is what this bill does. If you look on the last page, you'll also notice in section 2, subsection 3, that at the request of the Gaming Control Department, we struck all of that language there. Because the machines all report their taxes electronically now, this is an outdated reference in the code, and they ask that it be cleaned up in this bill. We have a number of supporters here that could explain how this works better than I can, and I also believe the department's here to answer technical questions. So I'll let them do that, and I'll stick around for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Welch. We'll start with proponents to House Bill 297.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Rhonda Wiggers, W-I-G-G-E-R-S, on behalf of the Montana Coin Machine Operators Association. And we'd like to start by thanking Representative Welch for being willing to carry this bill on our behalf. This is an important bill to our industry. This sounds like, when you look at it, you think, why would they ever have made them not be able to deduct negative taxes? But on the first page of the first bill, you'll notice on line 2, or number 2, automated accounting and reporting system. That was added about 15 or 16 years after we actually started licensed video gambling machines. By doing that, it made it much easier for us to track the negative income. So although you could paper trail it before, it was an extensive paper trail. So what they actually do is, if you have a machine and people have put $2,000 in it, but it's paid out $3,000, instead of being able to deduct that $1,000 off of the next quarter or another machine, they have to zero that machine out at the end of the quarter and report, and then pay taxes from there. So that negative never gets adjusted in their taxes. We estimate it's somewhere between $350,000 and $400,000 that the small businesses in Montana pay in taxes each year that they really don't owe because of the negative loss. I was pleased to see the fiscal note, actually, because it meant my math was pretty close. They came up with $402,000. My guys thought it was somewhere between there, right around there. So what this bill simply does is fixes it so that we can deduct the negative. It's easy to do with our reporting system that we have now. It's a fair way to collect taxes, and we do need to do it in law instead of rule, simply because the department is doing what is right and not making rules without legislative intent. And because there has been no change to the legislature, the law, there was no way for them to go in and say, well, the legislative intent must have changed since 1985. So we actually have to change the legislative intent to give them the ability to go to rulemaking. And we would appreciate a due pass on this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Wiggers. Next proponent.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Shauna Helfert, H-E-L-F-E-R-T, and I represent the Gaming Industry Association. The Gaming Industry Association rises in support of this bill as well. As you remember, the Gaming Industry Association, we represent manufacturers of the video gaming machines as well as route operators and small Montana businesses operating the video gaming machines. This is a tax equity bill. Currently, as was explained here, the way the video game tax is set up, it results in an overpayment of taxes by Montana businesses. We'll call this the ghost tax or a negative tax. And how this works is that the VGM tax is paid on a quarterly basis, and it's done electronically by the route operators or by the establishments. It's a pretty simple formula, if you will. Currently, right now, the tax rate is 15%, a simple formula of gross income. So it's tax rate times gross income. Gross income is money in minus money out. So how much cash goes in the machine subtracted by how much is paid out of the machine. So when the gross income of the VGM is negative, as was described earlier, the cash out exceeds how much actually goes in. The policy in effect today dictates that that be adjusted to zero. So, Mr. Chair, if you will allow me, I'd like to pass out a quick handout just to show an example.
Go ahead.
So on this handout, it shows there's two different examples on here. The first example on the top is way it's currently done, and the second example is what's actually proposed in this House Bill 297. So if you want to look at the first example, there's four video gaming machines in an establishment under this example. If you look at the first video gaming machine, number one, for an example, that was cash was $600 was put in the machine, and it paid out $425 for gross income of $175. The tax rate is 15%, therefore the tax is $26.25. And then you'll see that same example following it through from VGM 1, 2, and 3, but VGM 4 had a $200 went in the machine, $250 was paid out. So it actually had a loss, that $50 loss. And as you can see, then the tax rate is zero on that. And so that gets zeroed out. In the proposed law, in the example down below, that same example with those same four machines, you see VGM 4 where there's a negative $50. It's netted at the bottom of the net gross income as $500 versus $550 if you take the other calculation. And so the actual tax on that is $75 versus the $82.50. So as I said, that this is a reporting, this is really just a timing issue at the end of the day, just as with any type of business. It has to happen at the end of the quarter. So just depending upon the timing of when the machine pays out and when it doesn't, it determines how much tax is paid on here. So this timing should not harm Montana businesses. Good tax policy should allow for deductions of losses, just as any other business. that receives losses as well. So the one last thing that I just want to point out, and it's an important issue here, is that to ensure this bill does exactly as we just described, and to make sure that it's abundantly clear for years to come, I think there needs to be a slight amendment to this bill under the definition of, on page 2, line 12, which is the gross income definition. I'm not quite sure if we need to add that additional and minus negative income. I think that makes it kind of unclear exactly what that really means. I would suggest that we remove that addition and then add on page 23, excuse me, page 3, line 22, that that the licensed machine owner shall pay to the department a video gaming machine tax of 15% of the net gross income, and add the word net there. And so to make sure that this is abundantly clear, that we know what we're what's being done for future years. And I will work with the Department of Revenue and, or excuse me, the Department of Justice, the sponsors and other interested parties to make sure that we find that perfect language. But this is good for small Montana establishments, and I urge you to pass this. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Helfert. Next proponent.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, John Iverson representing the Montana Tavern Association. Now I get to say the opposite of what Shauna usually says. To have a gaming machine, you must first have an alcohol license, so the Tavern Association is interested in this legislation. My first job, I graduated with a accounting degree. My first job out of college, I was a corporate tax auditor for the Montana Department of Revenue. As a corporate tax auditor, you oftentimes are looking at NOL schedules, net operating loss schedules. Because, and it's exactly as Shauna said, it's a timing issue. Because we set tax periods into, we have to set these arbitrary dates, it causes these types of anomalies to occur. Over time, ideally, the business is going to make money, but in any fixed period, it may not. And for fundamental fairness, what we allow them to do is then carry that loss forward to a future period, or in corporate tax, carry it back. And so they can offset those losses with those other gains, and so that they can hit the fair tax rate. The fair tax rate is 15%. It was set by the legislature. But under the law as it's currently written, people are paying more than that rate. This bill corrects that so that people are paying the tax rate that was set by the legislature. With that, we support it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Iverson. Any other proponents? House Bill 297. Seeing none. Seeing none online. Are there any opponents? Opponents, House Bill 297. Seeing none. Information of witnesses.
Good morning, Chairman Buttrey, representatives. My name is Jason Johnson. I'm the interim administrator at Montana Gambling Control Division. My last name is J-O-H-N-S-O-N. And I wanted to come here today and let you know that we worked with the sponsor on this bill and made a couple of adjustments. We appreciate them asking. One example is that actually works easier for our systems to give that negative tax credit within the same quarter. It was initially written to give the credit in the following quarter. And so it works better to do that in the same quarter for our systems that we have in place. So we were able to make that recommendation. As others have said, this is good for Montana businesses. And as a division, we're able to implement this change within our systems that we use, a system called GenTax, where taxes are calculated. I've spoken to our staff and our lab, and we'd definitely be able to do that by the effective date of July 1. So, thank you.
Thank you. Vice Chair Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. With that testimony, I would like to reclassify this speaker as a proponent, please.
Any objection from the committee? Okay. Reclassify Mr. Johnson as proponent. Any other information of witnesses? Seeing none. Questions from the committee? Oh, okay. Representative Galloway.
Don't want to let him off the hook too easy.
I wasn't going to let him off the hook.
So, Mr. Chair, for Ms. Helfert.
Ms. Helfert.
Mr. Chair, Representative Galloway.
since this kind of out of my wheel, or Mr. Chair, since this is kind of out of my wheelhouse, can you tell me the difference between a route operator and an establishment?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Representative Galloway. So an establishment would be a liquor licensee who owns a bar and operates video gaming machines, so a casino. And a route operator is someone who owns the machines and would vend the machines, lease the machines, rent the machines to the licensee, if you will.
Follow up. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Ms. Helfert, who pays the taxes on the operator or the establishment?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Galloway, it depends upon who owns the machine. So the route operator, if they are leasing it, or the establishment, if the establishment owns the machine.
Further questions from the committee? Representative Carter.
Mr. Chair, I think for Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Chair, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Johnson, this is flagged for technical concerns. Is that what you were talking about with your implementation date? Do you know what these technical concerns are?
I don't. We did not submit a fiscal note. I didn't see any impact on what our staff needed to do to implement the change.
Mr. Chair, follow-up for the bill sponsor.
A follow-up. Representative Welch.
Mr. Chair, Representative Carter.
Mr. Chair, Representative Walsh, do you know what the technical concerns are with this fiscal note?
Those, Mr. Chair, Representative Carter, those are what would be addressed in the amendment that we talked about. It's just cleaning up the language, make it clear. That's what they're talking about there. So,
great. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Further questions from the committee? Seeing none, Representative Welch, since you're up, would you care to close?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, I would. Good bill, does the things that it needs to do, gets them done quickly. No big issues here. We will make that amendment, to clear up the language so that everyone's on the same page. And at this point, I would ask you for a due pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Welch. This will close the hearing on House Bill 297. Okay, we'll now open the hearing on House Bill 154. Representative Tuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning. Members of the committee, for the record, my name is Paul Tuss. I represent House District 28 in Northern Montana and Havre. And today I'm pleased to present to you House Bill 154 on behalf of the Department of Labor and Industry.
Representative Tuss, if I can have you hold off for a second. Members, we have a unique circumstance here in that the bill is, there's an amendment being proposed that would strike the entire language of the bill and would replace it with new language. Representative Tuss, I assume that's most of what you would prefer to talk to is the amendment.
Mr. Chairman, indeed it is. The amendment is so significant that's what we should be discussing today.
So, members of the committee, that's normally what we don't do because there's no assurance that an amendment's going to pass, but is there any objection to allowing the sponsor and the speakers to speak to the amendment since it's such a drastic change to the bill? Is there any objection to that? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and allow that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's an appropriate way to proceed this morning. This bill is part of the governor's red tape relief initiative. The department was asked to look at onerous, burdensome licensing standards and propose recommendations for the elimination of barriers to work. This bill, as presented, proposes the delicensing of medication aides. These professionals work in long-term care and assisted living facilities throughout Montana. They help nurses under the rules of delegation to pass medications on to patients. They're part of our state's ever-important care team and allow nurses more time to address higher priority health needs in these facilities and with their patients. There is no requirement that these medication aides have a license for this task. No other regulatory agency, such as DPHHS, requires licensure. Following introduction of this legislation, and this gets to the amendment, I heard strongly from a variety of stakeholders who were concerned that the elimination of this license type would create undue hardship on some of the facilities who want licensed personnel to perform these functions. Through constructive conversation, there is now agreement that there is no value in eliminating the license for medication aides, but rather simply reducing the requirements for licensure. Well, House Bill 154, in its current state, and I know that we're talking about the amended version of the bill, does de-license these professionals. I urge the committee to accept the compromise amendment, which is before you, that was drafted by the department with assistance from others. With support from industry that reduces the number of supervised hours for a CNA and the number of ongoing continuing education hours that are required. It is my understanding that the long-term care and assisted living facilities agree that these new thresholds provide sufficient training for these individuals as medication aides to function as a productive member of the care team. The department also supports this approach because it does eliminate unnecessary burdensome requirements and is consistent with the governor's red tape initiative. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, I urge your favorable consideration of this legislation with the amendments that are presented. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Tuss. We'll start with proponents to House Bill 154.
Good morning, Chair Buttrey, members of the committee. My name is Eric Strauss. It's S-T-R-A-U-S-S, and I'm the administrator for the Employment Standards Division in the Department of Labor and Industry. We're responsible for the administration of all 32 professional occupational boards, including the Board of Nursing, who is responsible for the licensure of medication aides. And I do have the proposed language from the department for the amendment, if I can share that with the committee.
Mr. Strauss, I think we already have it.
Okay. Yeah, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, it's slightly different than what we had proposed, but we're happy with what the industry's proposing in terms of changing those requirements as well. But before I step aside to hear the other testimony, I do want to thank Representative Tuss for sponsoring this piece of legislation. We took him through a bit of a roller coaster on this bill, and he's been extraordinarily patient with us as we've worked through some of the questions that we've received. Just to reiterate kind of the process that Representative Tuss talked about, you know, in the legislative off cycle, we were asked to evaluate all the license types to see if there are places that are undue hardships on people from getting to work. I mean, our perspective has always been in order, you know, our primary charge is to uphold patient safety, but in the event that there's other processes in place that do the same thing, there's no sense someone stopping by the Department of Labor and Industry paying us some money and us giving them a piece of paper to go to work. So that was our idea with this particular license type, especially since the relative numbers compared to the facilities is much lower. So, you know, we were of the opinion that perhaps the license type wasn't necessary. But obviously, in the process, once the bill was introduced, we received a lot of feedback from industry stakeholders, worked with them on the proposed language. We had initially offered to lower the number of supervised hours from 2 years to 1 year. The industry felt 6 months was adequate. So we're supportive of that perspective as well, and then also lowering the number of continuing education hours required for licensure. So thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Strauss. Any other proponents? Proponents, House Bill 154. Seeing none, opponents in the room. Opponents to House Bill 154.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, for the record, I'm Rose Hughes, H-U-G-H-E-S, the Executive Director of the Montana Healthcare Association. We represent nursing homes and assisted living facilities, which are the subject of this legislation. We were a little confused about whether we're opponents or proponents, but we're certainly opponents to the piece of legislation as written. And it would be a real problem for our facilities if, in fact, the MedAid program was eliminated. It has been successful since 2011, and it's just a real valuable tool for our facilities in terms of being able to staff facilities and make the best use of the licensed staff and the CNAs and also the med aides that they have just to get the job done for the people needing the care. In light of what has come before, I would like to take the opportunity to thank the department and thank the sponsor for working with us on this legislation to do some constructive things that I think will help our facilities in terms of being even more able to use medication aids and more able to get them on board and licensed more quickly, which is really important given the severe shortages we have going on now. So we support amendments, and the two sets you have in front of you are very close, but we support amendments that, number one, eliminate any mention of repeal, number two, reduce the continuing education hours from 12 to 6, which is in both of the amendments you have in front of you, and three, we would like to see the amount of time that these individuals have to work as certified nursing assistants reduced to 6 months, although I think what you have in front of you is 1,000 hours, and that does make sense. If you use hours, then we're looking at 6 months full-time as compared to somebody who might be working some different number of hours. So it makes sense to convert that to hours. And we do think that that continues to protect the public, but it also allows us to get where we need to be. I should mention that to be a med aide, you do have to go through the certified nursing assistant training. You do have to be a CNA. And if you change this, they will have to work as a CNA for 6 months or for 1,000 hours before they can move into a med aide position. And also, they have to maintain the CNA position. So most of these people actually work both as CNAs and med aides. They're a position that goes both ways, and it's just real helpful to the facilities in staffing. So what you'll find is these people are well trained to take care of the elderly, and they are also well trained to pass medication, and they continue to work and have experience in both those fields. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hughes. Next opponent.
Good morning, Chair Buttry and members of the House Business Labor. My name is Heather O'Hara, O'HARA. I'm a Master's Prepared Registered Nurse and Vice President with the Montana Hospital Association. So the Montana Hospital Association respectfully opposes 154 as it was originally written, and we would be in support of the amendments that are being brought forward. The Montana Hospital Association is a nonprofit organization whose members provide the full spectrum of health services, including hospital, inpatient, outpatient, skilled nursing, home health, hospice and assisted living, and senior housing. MHA supports House Bill 154 with amendments that continue the licensing of Medicaid aids with the changes to continuing education and CNA requirements. The skilled nursing and assisted living facilities that MHA represents believe strongly in the role of the medication aid in providing care to our Montana elders. They are a vital part of the care team in providing safe, competent care to our senior Montanans. Thank you to Representative Tess and your willingness to be open to the nursing home and assisted living industry with the amendments as discussed. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. O'Hara. Next opponent.
Good morning, Chairman Buttry and members of the committee. My name is Adriana Hines, A-D-R-I-E-N-N-A, Hines, H-I-N-E-S. I'm here today representing Benefice Health System based out of Great Falls. Benefice respectfully opposes the bill as currently drafted. We rely on the role of medication aides in our long-term care facilities, and we're hopeful that the proposed amendments can be incorporated. Once these are adopted, we will definitely support. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Hines. Next opponent.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Margaret Morgan, M-O-R-G-A-N. Today I represent St. John's United. It is a retirement community in Billings. We offer many levels of care, And as it is written, the bill would be drastically, it would hurt us in our personnel and in finding workforce. We would have to lay off 4 to 6 employees if this bill moved forward with the repeal. However, with the changes, we strongly support and appreciate the department and the representative for working together. The amendment is very important. I won't repeat what's been said. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Morgan. Any other opponents in the room? Seeing none, we'll go to opponents online. Let's start with Jason Kronk.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Jason Kronk. That's C-R-O-N-K. I'm president and CEO of Emmanuel Lutheran Communities in Kalispell. We operate a licensed nursing home and assisted living community. We do oppose the House Bill 154 as it was originally drafted, but we agree and support the bill with the amendments and can support Bill 154 as amended. Medication aid is an essential position in our community. We currently have 4 medication aides and 5 CNAs scheduled to graduate as medication aides in the coming months. Medication aid certification, our licensure, provides an important career path for our CNAs, leading to higher retention and career fulfillment and job satisfaction. Over the past year, we have lost many registered and licensed nurses to work as traveling nurses, as they can earn more money than we can afford to pay them long term. We've also witnessed many registered and licensed nurses retire, which, according to the Montana Department of Labor, is the number one reason we've seen so many leave the workforce. Medication aides have helped fill the void. Medication aides play a vital role by giving our registered and licensed nurses to provide better care management to our residents. The medication aides work allows our registered and licensed nurses to complete assessments, focus on changes in conditions, provide education to residents and families regarding the loved one's care. Medication aides free up the nurse to provide wound care, IV therapy, documentation, as well as communicating with other healthcare providers when necessary and as needed. By virtue of the dedication and focused training, we see fewer medication errors. Our medication aides also help our CNAs by assisting with activities of daily living. Losing the medication aid licensure would exacerbate an already tenuous and difficult operating environment for Montana nursing homes, since no Montana nursing home has many registered or licensed nurses applying for positions. The medication aid is more valuable today than ever for Montana nursing homes to provide the best care for our residents. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kronk. Let's go to Kristen O'Bresley.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I am Kristen O'Bresley, O-B-R-E-S-L-E-Y. I'm the Vice President of Regulatory and Community Services at Northern Montana Hospital in Havre, Montana. We have a skilled nursing facility and an assisted living facility. I'm here today to echo the words of Ms. Hughes, Ms. O'Hara, and Mr. Kronk. We are opponents to House Bill 154, but proponents to the amendments. The medication aids are very essential to what we do in long-term care, and we certainly appreciate your consideration. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. O'Bresley. Let's go to Lori Henderson.
Good morning. My name is Lori Henderson, L-O-R-I-H-E-N-D-E-R-S-O-N. I'm an RN, and I'm also a licensed nursing home administrator. Currently, I do work for Great Falls College Lifelong Learning, and I'm also an adjunct for the nursing program. I'm the clinical coordinator of the healthcare programs that offer CNA, paid feeding assistant, medication aides 1 and 2, and home health aid certifications. I agree with Mrs. Hughes and other members who oppose the current bill as it is written and support the amendments as been proposed. I think the one thing I would like to add to all of this is when I talk to nurses about this bill, some of them were instructors at the college, some on the floor, working the floors, and every single one of them said not for 1 minute would they ever delegate to an unlicensed person to administer medications. And I think the case in May of 2022 I think it was Tennessee or Kentucky, where Nurse Redonda Vaught was charged and convicted of fatal medication errors. And then when this case went to trial, of course, all of us as nurses were talking about it because it had some incredible ramifications. And I guess everybody was concerned. And the case has become a prominent talking point in ongoing national discussions about nursing shortages and patient safety. And with this well-publicized landmark case, it is doubtful that any nurse in her right mind would ever delegate to an unlicensed person. I think as an instructor at Great Falls College, I've seen that the program, as we have been delivering it to probably close to 10 candidates now, it raises the standard of care, I think, because these med aids take a very structured, standardized course. And the program that they take focuses on medication safety, narcotic safety, adverse drug reactions, and knowledge about the drug classes. It also, when these people are licensed, it makes them professionally responsible and accountable for the work that they do. And the fact that they have to receive continuing education credits. So I like the program as it is in terms of what it offers to these people, the structure, the high standard of the education that we are offering, and to keep them licensed. I think it works very well, as you've heard from many individuals in the industry. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Henderson. We'll next go to Steve McFadden. Mr. McFadden, it looks like you're muted.
Sorry. Good morning. This is Steve McFadden, MCFADDEN. I'm the administrator of Valley Vista Manor in Lewistown. I would like to take the opportunity to oppose the bill as written and to support the amendment. I can't say a whole lot more than the other opponents have discussed. Anyway, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. McFadden. And thank you, Amanda, for doing such a great job routing all those folks on and off camera. Are there any informational witnesses? Any informational witnesses? House Bill 154? Seeing none. Questions from the committee? Representative Galloway.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess for the bill sponsor.
Representative Tuss.
I'm just curious how we come with the hours. Is there a national standard that they're looking at that we would stay in complete with? And if they've went through the schooling and stuff, how do they get the original hours?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Galloway, I'm actually not sure about that, but I believe that there are folks in the room that could answer that if I could redirect that question.
Refer to Ms. Hughes? Ms. Hughes.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. Let's have Ms. Hughes start. Or would you rather have Ms. Anderson do it? Ms. Henderson?
Either way.
Okay, let's... Go, Ms. Henderson. Okay, let's go to Ms. Henderson. Lori Henderson online.
Your question was, how do we track those hours? Is that what you're saying?
Representative Galloway.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Henderson, no, I'm just curious what the national standard is for those hours, if there is one. Just scanning through the code, I didn't see anything referring to that. But also, how do you get your original hours? I mean, if you've done the schooling and the training, how come you don't just start? Why do you need the hours?
The hours as a CNA, is that what you're asking?
Follow up.
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Henderson, no, I'm thinking of, I understand they go through the CNA, but then they have additional training that they have to be the med person.
Okay.
I mean, it's out of my wheelhouse, so I'm just trying to wrap my brain around it and how a person initially gets started if they don't have any hours.
Okay. So to become a medication aide, a medication aide two, they must have 100 hours of education, didactic and skills. So currently what we are doing at Great Falls College is we have a hybrid class where they are online with Google Classroom. We have a book that the students use by Hartman Publishing. They go through all of the modules. Then we meet with them for an additional 16 hours over the course of the time they are taking this course, go through the skills and do have a checkoff form that they must show competency in those. Once they are done with that 100-hour course, they then have 40 hours of supervised training on the floor under the direct supervision of an RN to administer medications. After they've passed all of that, so essentially 140 hours, then they prepare and take the state licensure exam. Did I answer your question?
Representative Galloway.
One more follow-up.
Follow-up.
So, Mr. Chair, Ms. Henderson, I still don't see, where do they get these first hours? Is it as a CNA and then it just enables them to become that med tech?
Yes. They must work for 1,000 hours. Currently, it's 4,000 hours, and that is proved through human resources of the organization where they work. And so when they go to apply to become a medication aide two, they fill out a form, and it's actually a checklist where they can prove they have had their 4,000 hours as a CNA before they can apply to the MedAid program, where they then subsequently receive another 140 hours of education.
Thank you.
Further questions from the committee? Representative Oblander.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This would be for Ms. Henderson, too, please.
Ms. Henderson.
Sounds like the one to answer the question.
Go ahead.
Okay. Mr. Chair, Ms. Henderson, I have a question on the continuing ed back on page 2, line 5. That's been cut from 12 to 6 hours and kind of in line with what Representative Galloway was talking about. Is that a standard that is in the region, or how come you just decided to cut it to 6? I'm just curious about that. And how does that relate to what CNAs have to currently get?
First of all, RNs, licensed nursing staff, are not required to obtain a certain number of pharmacy hours, whereas the medication aide must. And so one of the things even that we heard from Missy Portenga at the Board of Nursing, she felt that the 12 hours, there was hard to find those pharmacy classes. And so the reason that we asked for the 6 hours was to, number one, make it easier to find the number of education hours. And a CNA must have, I believe, 12 hours a year, but the law has changed recently. The main thing with CNAs is that they have to show that they have been working for the past year as a CNA in order to get their CNA license. And then they have to have a basic life support class, et cetera. So we asked to have it cut to 6 so that it would be easier for them to obtain it while they're working. Ms. Hughes, do you have anything else to add to that?
Representative Oblander, do you have a question? Another question?
Yes, follow up, please.
Follow up.
So if the CNAs still do 12, does any of their 12 count toward this 6?
If they are related to pharmacy and medications.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Further questions from the committee? Further questions? Okay, I'll ask one. Mr. Strauss?
Chair.
So, Mr. Strauss, how it seems like everyone's pretty much unified that we need medication aids and that we need to address their training, continuing education. How did we initially end up with a bill that was deleting the medication aids sections and definitions? It just seems crazy if they're that important.
Mr. Chair, it is an interesting conversation. Like I said in my opening remarks, there is no other regulatory requirement that this position, this duty, be done by a licensed individual. There's no license protection. There's no title protection associated with this license. So any organization, long-term care facility or assisted living facility, could have medication aids functioning in that capacity without a license currently under law.
Okay, thank you. Any further questions? Seeing none, Representative Tuss, would you care to close on House Bill 154?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sponsor the bill, they said. It'll be easy, they said. Well, welcome to Sausage Making 101, my first bill, by the way. I'd like to thank you for a good hearing. I'd particularly like to thank the department and the administration, as well as the industry, for making a questionable bill a good bill. So with the amendments that are in front of you, I would urge a do pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Tuss, and thank you for everyone that gave testimony and dealing with a little strange situation with the amendment. With that, we'll close House Bill 154. So, members, again, if you have amendments to any existing bills that we've heard, please get with Jameson. He's looking for work, and we can get those amendments completed. We have a full docket tomorrow. They're all marijuana bills, so we could potentially have some significant amount of testimony. If we need to put time limits, we will, but we need to get through those three bills and then get into executive, so we'll try to get as much done as possible. Anything else for the good of the committee, Representative Galloway?
Just kind of curious where we're headed with the one that needs so many amendments. We talked about it.
Representative Mercer's bills?
Yeah.
Yeah, so again, members, we sent the letter to the Department of Labor directing them to get with the industry opponents and to come up with as much consensus as possible. In that letter, we requested the department get back to us by this Friday with any status on how much consensus we've got and also a list of areas where we cannot find consensus. Mr. Strauss, you have anything to add? As we look forward to getting responses on Friday?
Mr. Chair, thank you for the opportunity to update you. So we have been fielding lots of questions from industry stakeholders. So we have a spreadsheet that details all the proposed amendments from both the hearing and then written otherwise. So in each one of those, we have a position that we're taking, whether it be opposed or supportive, but then also kind of a neutral category where we stand by the policy perspective, but ultimately give it up to the committee to make a decision on whether or not they'd want to include those proposed amendments. We're hopeful to send out our full spreadsheet to stakeholders today or tomorrow and make sure that we caught everything and then get it to you either Thursday or Friday.
Okay, Mr. Strauss, are you finding areas of consensus?
Mr. Chair, absolutely. Yeah, there are many things that we've been agreeable to, for sure.
Great. Representative Galloway, does that answer your question? Thank you, Mr. Strauss. Representative Oblander.
Yes, Mr. Chair. With regards to House Bill 137 that's been tabled by this committee, many of the same type of issues, and Mr. Strauss and I, we've had several conversations. They have literally done the same thing on that bill, and we expect to have that finalized very soon, just so the committee's aware of that, and we'll have the detail on everything that's been agreed to.
Excellent, and thank you to the department for taking on some of this workload from us and free up some staff time. Anything else for the good of the committee? Seeing none, we're adjourned. Thank you. Thank you.